Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and we'll start at verses 26. And we'll go all the way to verse 38. Again, that's Luke chapter 1, verses 26. And then we'll end at verse 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary says, "How would this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly, again, thank you, Lord, for allowing each and every one of us to be here. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to just reflect over the season of Advent and how you have been so faithful to us over the years and even during this season. And again, we just thank you, Lord, for sending your son to die for us. And Father, that we may have hope, that we may have life. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would just open our hearts to receive your word. And we thank you, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I begin tonight, I'll open up tonight and just help us to understand the context within that surrounds the message for tonight of verse 26. And it basically starts off, we're opening in verse 26. It says in the sixth month. And it's in the sixth month that Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist, the angel of Gabriel, was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. And it was during this time that John the Baptist was growing in the womb of his mother. And we know that during this time, Elizabeth was married to a man named Zechariah. And we read that both of them were righteous before God, and they were observing the Lord's commandments and all of his decrees. And although they walked before the Lord, the two of them were without a child, and it's something that they prayed for a long time. And one day, while Zechariah was serving in the temple of the Lord, he had an unexpected guest. And the guest was Gabriel, an angel who was sent from God. And the angel was sent from God to deliver this message, to inform him that him and his wife will have a child, and that child name should be John. And John, like his parents, were chosen by God for a specific purpose. And his purpose was to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And we see as he was preparing the people for the coming of the Lord, it was It was during the time that Herod was king of Judea. And if you know anything about Herod, Herod was a very cruel king and a very nasty king, if you will. He did a lot of things that were not righteous. And it was also during the time where the people of God longed to be set free from the oppression that they were under. And shamefully, it was a time where the word of the Lord was diluted by many. And it was diluted by even those who God had entrusted his word to. And it seemed that this area that surrounded Nazareth was dimming. That somehow that darkness seemed to cover the face of the earth. And for years, the presence of the Lord seemed to be vacant. But we know that God, being faithful to every word, would send a light into the world so that the people no longer needed to walk in darkness. And as we look at verse 26, we see that the place in which Gabriel was sent to was Nazareth. And during this time, Nazareth wasn't a city known for its a good reputation. And we don't hear anything about Nazareth because Nazareth is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It is only in the New Testament that we hear about Nazareth. And Nazareth wasn't a city that the Jewish people knew that the Messiah would come from. They set their hopes on the Messiah coming from Bethlehem. But we know that Christ was indeed born in Bethlehem. But we see that indeed Christ grew up in the city of Nazareth where Joseph and Mary was born. And this Nazareth again had this bad reputation. And we hear this echo throughout Jesus' public ministry. Most familiar situation is when Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, goes and he finds Nathanael, his friend Nathanael, and he tells him, "We have found a Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael basically responds to him and says, "Can any good thing come from Nazareth?" And we see that Jesus would be given this name, and this name will stick with him for the rest of his public ministry. And the reason why this place is important, I believe the reason why this place is important because, one, God had chose this place out of every other place to fulfill the prophecies of his prophets that were spoken many years ago. It was also a place that Jesus would associate with the rest of his earthly, would be associated with the rest of his earthly ministry. And in verse 27, we see that this angel came to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And from here, one of the biggest things that we see is that Mary was indeed a virgin, which makes this a miraculous thing that's going to happen on earth. So this makes this miracle even that more significant, that Mary was a virgin. And also, we see that she was engaged to a man named Joseph from the house of David, which indeed fulfills the prophecy that was told to David many years ago. And in verse 28, we continue on and we see that, "And he came to her and he said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.'" And you think about just what type of greeting this might have been. Just how amazing this was for Mary to be approached by this angel unexpectedly, and he gives her this good news. And notice what he tells her. He tells her that she's favored and that the Lord is with her. And from this greeting, we see that Mary was perplexed. And it says that she was perplexed and she pondered on what greeting that this might be. And I think about that, I think that Mary is no different from you and I. And I say that because when she hears the words of the angel, she was perplexed and she just wondered, she couldn't understand how such words can be said about her. And I think the fact that Mary was troubled, the fact that Mary was perplexed about these words, it shows her humility. But it's also a message to us today that shows how we should, too, respond to the word of God with humility, knowing that we even ourselves are not even worthy of such words, of such love. And we see again that Mary was troubled by the saying of the angel. And I think you think about that about yourself. How do you respond to the word of God? Do you respond with such humility as Mary responded? Or do you respond as if with a sense of entitlement, feeling that such words should be said to me or should be said about me? And we go to verse 30 to verse 33, and we hear that the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God would give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign in a house of over the house of Jacob forever. And in his kingdom there will be no end." And from Mary's humble response, the angel gently tells her not to be afraid. And before Mary could even say a word, what do we see that the angel says to her? He announces to her that she has found favor with God and will indeed conceive in her wombs and give birth to a son, whose name shall be Jesus. And he will be given the throne of his ancestor David. And I think there's three things that stands out with this announcement, this announcement from the angel. One being his name, two being his messianic reign, and three, his divine sonship. The first one, we see that his name shall be Jesus. And if we tie in the Old Testament, Joshua from the Old Testament is basically Jesus. And his name means the Lord of salvation, which means that Jehovah saves. And Jesus basically means Savior, that he is the one who is coming to save his people from their sins. And then we go to number two when we talk about his messianic reign. And it talks about how he will be the one who will reign over the house of Jacob forever, that basically Jesus' kingdom on earth will last forever. And then also his divine sonship, that Jesus is the Son of the Most High, that Jesus is the Son of God. And throughout Luke describes Jesus as the Son of Man. And here it is that the angel is revealing to Mary that he will be the Son of God. And as we go to verse 34, Mary says to the angel, now she responds, she have a chance to say something. Now this is the first time Mary actually responds to the angel. She says, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" And if we think about Mary's question is very logical. Mary has indeed, she don't understand how such thing can be because she's never been with Joseph, her husband. Her husband to be. And she's trying to ponder and just realize how all these things can be. And we think about her question, and it's very different from Zechariah's question. Because Zechariah basically responds with unbelief. And we hear that Mary, it's not a question of unbelief, but it's a question of wonder filled with that she's responding with faith, but she's still curious how such words can be said about her. And the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And basically, we see that the power of God, the Most High, will overshadow Mary. And this one who is coming from her, Jesus Christ, will be holy. That he will be set apart from everybody on earth. And not only does the angel bring this amazing promise to Mary, Gabriel also brings evidence. He tells her basically that your cousin Elizabeth is in her sixth month, the one who was said to not to be able to conceive. She now has a child, and she is in her sixth month. And he answers and says, for with God, nothing is impossible. And this point is made clear that God is absolutely performing what he said, and that God will perform exactly what he says he's going to do. And then we get to the final verse. It says that Mary is basically Mary's response to everything that has been spoken to her from the angel. And listen to what Mary says. She says, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And then we see that the angel departed from her. And after hearing the word of the Lord, we see that Mary responded. And her response, if you will, is a response of faith. It's not a response of fear or doubt, but it's this response of faith. It's this response that the Father is indeed seeking. And it's a response that Jesus would give voice to during his earthly ministry when he said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And here Mary accepts this divine call upon her life. By God's grace, she accepts this call. And by accepting this call, Mary is basically submitting herself to the will of God. And notice, again, I think it's so fascinating with Mary's response that it's not this response of fear, it's not this response of doubt, but again, it's this response of faith. And if we look in Hebrews, it tells us that it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And her response is very similar to people of faith like Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, and Isaiah when they heard the word of the Lord. When the word of the Lord reached their ears, they responded in such a way as Mary did, as people of faith. Abraham responded with faith when the Lord called him to sacrifice his one and only son. Moses responded with faith when the Lord called him at the sight of the burning bush that didn't burn. Samuel responded with faith when the Lord called him while serving in the house of Eli, along Eli, the priest. David responded with faith when the Lord told him that it would not be him who would build his house, who would not build a house for his name. And we see that he trusted in God's word, and he responded with faith. And Isaiah responded with faith when he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? And again, it's this response of faith that we hear when Mary says, basically, here am I. She says, I am the servant of the Lord. She acknowledges, she accepts Gabriel's message. And she said, let it be to me according to your word. And I think that's one of the challenges, or that is the challenge for us today. When we think about Mary's response to the words of the angel, it's the challenge of, will we respond as such, like such people, like Mary, like Isaiah and Abraham? Will we have the faith to respond in such a matter? Will we have the faith to say, Lord, here I am, despite everything else that's in the way? Will we be those who the Lord don't just find waiting, but those who the Lord find waiting in him? Those who are walking according to his word, and those who are being obedient to his Holy Spirit. So I just ask again, will we respond like Mary with faith to the word of the Lord? Thank you.